From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Ira Melman. The proposed Syrian ceasefire goes to the United Nations. UN diplomats are considering a Security Council resolution endorsing a U.S. and Russian-backed ceasefire in Syria, which U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says is the one way that we can end the war.
The alternative is that the war gets worse, that Syria might be totally destroyed, not able to be put back together again. Everybody has said you've got to have a diplomatic solution at some point in time. The question will be, is it right? Will Russia work in good faith? Will Iran work in good faith to try to bring about the political transition that the Geneva Communique calls for?
Syria's warring parties have until midday Friday to say if they are participating in the cessation of hostilities that is due to begin 12 hours later. U.S. and Russian officials are holding further discussions Thursday on implementing the ceasefire, and Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister Mikhail Bogdanov reiterated that Russia is not considering any alternatives to the plan. The Syrian government has said it will take part, but will continue attacking Islamic State and Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists, which are excluded from the ceasefire. U.S. President Barack Obama struck a cautious tone on the ceasefire after meeting Wednesday with Jordan's King Abdullah, saying, "We are very cautious about raising expectations on this. The situation on the ground is difficult." In Moscow, the Kremlin said Russian President Vladimir Putin spoke Wednesday with the Iranian President Hassan Rouhani and Saudi Arabia's King Salman about the impending truce. Its statement said Putin and Rouhani, who both support the Assad regime in Damascus, stressed the importance of a further cooperation between the two countries in fighting terrorist groups. This is VOA News. The U.S. and United Nations have welcomed a declaration by Libyan lawmakers in support of a proposed unity government, but expressed concern about reported intimidation of members of parliament by those who oppose the accord. A majority of members, 100 out of 196, of the internationally recognized parliament in Tobruk signed a statement Tuesday saying they agree with the latest in a string of plans to establish a unity government with rivals based in Tripoli, but a vote on the proposal was not held because of threats against them. The United States and China have agreed on a United Nations resolution that would impose tougher sanctions on North Korea in retribution for its latest nuclear test and rocket launch at the beginning of the year. UN diplomats told reporters about the new sanctions agreement Wednesday, a day before the UN Security Council was set to hold closed consultations on the issue. The U.S.-China agreement... China had criticized North Korea's nuclear and missile tests, but in the past it has been reluctant for tougher punitive measures for fear that they may lead to the collapse of Pyongyang's regime and a flood of refugees across the border. Also Wednesday, U.S. President Obama signed legislation imposing new U.S. sanctions against North Korea in response to Pyongyang's nuclear and missile test. The bill calls for imposing mandatory sanctions on anyone assisting Pyongyang over its nuclear and missile programs, cyber attacks, and human rights abuses. Iranians are set to go to the polls Friday to elect members of parliament and the 88-member assembly of experts in the first national elections held since last July's international nuclear agreement. A key policy objective of President Hassan Rouhani, it will give Iranians a chance to help chart their country's future. The Associated Press reports many voters are getting information about the candidates via social media. Even President Rouhani sent out a text Wednesday urging people to vote, saying, "Let's decide on a hopeful future for Iran on Friday." The election takes place as the family of a dual U.S.-Iranian seeks information on his arrest Monday in Tehran. In a Facebook posting, he is identified as Bakir Namazi, who was described as about 80 years old with a health condition. He served as provincial governor under the Shah of Iran and was employed by the UN. His son, Namazi, a businessman who also holds dual citizenship, has been imprisoned in Iran since October. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, during a congressional hearing Wednesday, said he was aware of the case but could not comment any further. And five African leaders representing the African Union have arrived in Burundi to push for a mediation protest to end the crisis over the president's
That's the latest
terms.
World news from VOA.